All right, folks, what's going on? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 112. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99, back with another episode of y'all's favorite WMMA podcast. All right, y'all, so this is the second week now, the new year, and I am consistent on these episodes. I told y'all I was going to be doing these every Tuesday. 7 p.m. Eastern time, I was going to stick with, or yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I ain't going to say 7-ish. Maybe every now and then we might be a little bit over 7, but we're going to be up in this range, and I've been on it for about a month now. So give me an applause, right? So yeah, y'all know this thing is running live. Not pre-recorded, it's live stream, but it's a pre-recorded one, but y'all keep on talking like y'all usually do. It's all good. Shout out to everybody in the chat. But yeah, man. We back with another episode, and of course, you know, there's a few things I want to talk about. Y'all already see the title right here for this episode, A Bullet Without a Target, and that's going to be the main topic I get on here in a minute. But I wanted to, of course, go back and pay a tribute to a fighter we recently lost, of course, and Victoria Lee, sister of Angela Lee. So, you know, I want to kind of talk about that a little bit, you know, and just give her a little peace, give her a little shine, even in her passing. All right. So we're going to talk about that first. And next, shocking news. You know, we got another fighter leaving the game in Leah Letson. So we're going to talk about that. Also, let me see here. We've got Stamp Fairtex and Anissa Mexican. They're supposed to fight this Friday on this one prime card that's coming up in a few more days, which I'm going to do a fight companion for. And I just want to talk about the fight a little bit. I want to talk about the rules for this mixed fight because I was a little confused on what it was. But I remember now, and just in case y'all don't know, like what this mixed rules of a super fight is going to be. You know, we're going to talk about that. All right. And then I want to go back and discuss Cynthia Calvillo a little bit. I'm going into her fight with Lupita Godinez. And then Blanchfield. We're going to talk about Blanchfield's confidence going into this Tyler Santos fight. And of course, Valentina without an opponent. All right. So yeah, we're gonna talk about all that right here, man, like we always do. But yeah, man, like I said, you know, I've been doing this show for a minute now. And I have a lot of y'all coming through, you know, always giving your opinions and chatting with me, whether we agree or disagree. But you know, it's one thing to disagree and we can have a friendly or civil debate on how we see a fight, but you know, just don't come up in the chat disrespecting. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't begging or anything like that for you to do what I mean, because I can just get rid of you, you know. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to take the time and effort to come over and just say something, at least keep it civil. At least be respectful. I mean, just don't come out of nowhere and say, oh, you suck, or oh, you disrespecting the fighter just because I gave an opinion, or you hate me because of that, or I make you angry because of that, you know? So I just want to address that first off. Like, I don't care if you are a fighter or not, you know what I mean? Like, my opinion is my opinion, you know, whether you are a fan or a fighter. I mean, I'm not speaking from a position of no experience, right? Or, you know, just somebody from the outside looking in that don't know what he's talking about, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm not going to question anybody in anything that they have experience in and I don't know about it, right? Or if I just feel like they don't make any sense, I'm not even gonna pay attention to it. If a person doesn't even make any sense to me, even though they do, like if it's something I don't understand, I'm not gonna take my time out to even address the person and get mad. I'm just not gonna watch, right? If a person really bugs you, you ain't gonna watch. But if I get under your skin and disagree and you like to still come over and watch, just sit in the back and quietly stew. You're quietly stew and quietly develop an ulcer. You know what I mean? Like, if I bug you that much. But I'm starting to enjoy it now that, you know, my opinions really do matter, whether you love it or hate it, you know. So I don't care however you feel. Like, hey, that's me, you know. So yeah, anyways, enough of that talk. We got some real things going on in life. That's why I said the other day, look, we got real things going on. We dealing with real life, and we just gotta live, man. We just gotta live, because we never know when it's going to be over. And unfortunately, you know, Angela Lee, as y'all know, the former champion in 1FC, big champion in 1FC, solid champion, recently lost her sister Actually, Lost of the Week of Christmas, the day after Christmas, it was just put out recently. I guess, you know, they wanted to kind of keep it under wraps, but we had just found out like, what, 2 or 3 days ago when I mentioned it to y'all in a previous live stream. So yeah, Victoria Lee passed away at the young age of 18 years old. That's some crushing news, you know, not just for the MMA world, but for the Lee family, you know. Not even like discussing like the fight side of this, you know, it's just like a real hit to the gut for them. You know what I mean? It's like a real bullet to the heart right now, you know, and I feel for them. I really do feel for the family here because this was a young lady that had her life ahead of her, you know, doing big things, you know, making a statement, following in the footsteps of her sister and her, you know, her siblings, on her way to doing something great and on that path to greatness. And it was taken away at a young age, you know, it was taken away at a young age. But in case y'all didn't know, it was posted on IG by Angela Lee. She had said, "On December 26, 2022, our family experienced something no family should ever have to go through. It is incredibly difficult to say this. Our Victoria passed away. She has gone too soon, and our family's been completely devastated since then. We miss her more than anything in the world. More than anything in this world, our family would never be the same. Life would never be the same. Victoria was the most beautiful soul who ever lived. She was the best little sister in the world, the best daughter, the best granddaughter, and the best godmom auntie to Ava and Aaliyah. We miss you so much, sis, more than you could ever realize. We're all broken because a piece of you is in each of us. And when you left, those pieces were ripped out of us. We'll never be the same. Each and every little mistake makes me think of you, from the sun rays to the sunset. You taught us how to see the beauty in simple things. You were our bright light, our sunshine, and that will never change. You're perfect in every way, the best person I knew, the most beautiful girl inside and out. We love you, Victoria. I love you, Sprout, until the end of time." So, wow, man, just reading that, you know, that's a lot of pain. I can only imagine their experience. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, to lose somebody that young. And like she says, that is true. You know, there's some experiencing something like that is something nobody should ever have to go through. You know, whenever like the youngest in the family passes before the parents or any of the older people in the family, you know, that's something heartbreaking. You know, it's like they say, parents should never outlive their kids. And yeah, that's a lot of pain there, man. But yeah, like not even speaking about the fight career here of Victoria Lee, you know, this was a young girl who just had her whole life ahead of her. You know, 18 years old, she was making a statement in the game and just had, you know, that had that youthful feel, like when I was 18. You know what I mean? Like when I was 18, you know, you feel like you have the you're unstoppable, invincible, and you still have a lot to accomplish. You still have a lot to accomplish in this world, and to, you know, have that taken, it can be a devastating hit to everybody in the family, you know. So I just wanted to say rest in peace. Victoria Lee, you know, she's leaving behind a 3-0 record, you know, all finishes in one FC. I remember seeing her interview a few years back, was it? You know, when she first came in, you know, she was just so young on the mic and not really knowing what to say. And it just shows you that, you know, she's, you know, still growing up and she's just still taking a bite out of life, right? But now, you know, that's been taken. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. You know, everything happens for a reason. I mean, I don't know why this would happen, but I do truly believe that. So yeah, man, condolences to the Lee family here. And yeah, rest in peace to this young lady. Hopefully, you know, definitely there's got to be a better place in here anyway, right? In this world. But yeah, like I said, there's just so many other things to worry about, Mike. You know, besides somebody's words, you know, if words hurt you that much, maybe certain things just aren't for you, right? Because people like this, they're really dealing with something now. But yeah, 3-0, you know, she just seemed like she was on the path to making a big statement in the game. Yeah, hopefully wherever she's at now, you know, heaven, you know, her soul is resting, or she's really getting experience whatever it is she wants to do in life, you know. So yeah, moving on though. Yeah, I'm just saying, man, you know, that is really sad though, man. I just kind of thinking about it, you know, being only 18 years old and life is gone, you know, life is gone like that. And like I said, nothing was disclosed about how she passed yet. You know, I keep y'all posted if they do want to release that at some point. But yeah, they haven't said anything else outside of that. You know, like I said, they even just kept that under wraps that she had passed away the day after Christmas. I mean, the day after Christmas too, man. Day after Christmas, like that's rough, man. You know, that is rough. Wow. But yeah, guys, leave some words in the comment section. You know how y'all feel about that, and you know, just some words of respect and words of encouragement to Angelique and her family right now. So yeah, moving on, guys. Leah Letson, this was shocking news. You know, I hit y'all with this in the live stream last night, but just in case y'all missed it because it was so deep in. This was wild, man. I didn't even know this was coming, you know. I mean, she's had some inactivity, of course. Leah Letson is now calling it quits from the world of MMA. You know, she posted up a long paragraph, you know, breaking it down on why she's leaving. And first off, I had seen, was it on Twitter? I believe it was Marcus Bell, somebody in the chat, it put it up. Posted up a link from Twitter where, you know, it just says fighter was removed. So, you know, of course, I did my research and boom, right there when I pulled it up on IG, you know, she went into a whole thing, you know, explaining her official retirement. I mean, I'll just kind of flip through it here on IG just in case y'all missed it. This is what she said on IG. She said, it's mixed emotions. I'm announcing my official retirement from MMA. Although it is somewhat sad to say goodbye, you know, she basically said that it is time to go. You know, something she's been thinking about. And it's something that she knows that she needs to do, which lets you know that it's a little bit deeper. It's a little bit deeper, you know, could be the health, could be the mental health, you know, whether mental or physical here, but it's something that needs to be done. She said, I accomplished what I set out to accomplish. I made it to the biggest platform, you know, the UFC, competed on the Ultimate Fighter. But like she said, when I first started this sport, I had a strong passion, you know, doing. Willing to do whatever it took to be successful. After years of overtraining and undereating and enduring emotional abuse, I developed some serious, severe health issues that I almost died. Okay, so yeah, that's a big part of it right there. You know, dealing with a lot of rough weight cuts, undereating, and just emotional abuse where you're beating yourself up mentally. Combine all that together, that can do a lot of damage. All right, so she said it took over 3 whole years of extreme medical bills to get my health back on track. I was able to overcome and accomplish not just myself to a normal level of healthy again, but I was able to get myself back into fighting shape and endure fighting camp. It was at that point I knew I was getting burnt out of the sport, but I had to prove to myself and the world that I could do it. After 3 years of struggling, she stepped back into the cage, you know, against Felicia Spencer. It wasn't her outcome, but she just, you know, couldn't overcome it and had to call it quits. After that, she said, I feel nothing more to prove to myself, and I simply don't love fighting the way I used to. All right. So yeah, that's pretty much everything in a nutshell right there. I mean, when it comes down to it, you really got to look out for number one. You know, you got to look out for your health here if you're taking care of the people, especially if you just got a life to live. You know, she's had some rough weight cuts, like I said, the undereating. Overtraining, you know, preparing for a fight, and then boom, maybe an injury comes up, and then you can't fight, right? So the body's getting beaten up, and then under eating, trying to make weight, you know, that's doing a lot of damage to your body. Then the emotional stress, emotional abuse, you know, people just don't understand. Like when the mind goes or the mind is not in the right place, that's another way that you break down physically because if certain things aren't registering from your mind to your body, you know, your body's not able to get enough water. It's not enough. It's not, you know, there's that cutoff there. There's that cutoff where your mind is telling you, hey, we need to drink more water. We need to get these certain nutrients to our body. So if those things are being cut off, it's slowly going to cause your body to deteriorate. You know what I mean? So all of that combined, you know, is probably putting her in a bad place and really did have her battling, you know, some sicknesses, you know. So combine, put all that together, and then you lose your love for the fight game. There's no need for you to be in the sport like fighting. You know what I mean? Like this ain't basketball or something like that. Well, lucky it's not football either. You know, football is a dangerous sport too, but like basketball is something like that. You know, you could go on. It's a team sport, right? You could ride the bench sometimes, right? But when you're talking like the fight game, you know, this ain't a game. You know, it's a deadly sport, and you don't want to be in that sport if your mind is not 100%, right? If you don't have the hunger for it, you could really get hurt in there. You know, so I think, you know, somebody like Felicia Spencer is making the right choice to say, hey, none of this is coming together. I don't love it the same way. It's just not clicking anymore. There's no need to do it. There's other ways to make money, right? Especially if you were trying to make this as your career. You know, to make this a career, you have to make sure everything else is intact. You know, you have to have a love for it. And if you don't have a love for something you do, you can be miserable. Now, it's different from 9 to 5. Not everybody works a job they love, right? They work it because they got families to support. But the jobs they work aren't as, they're not as much of a health hazard as a fighter's job, right? You know, you could go to your job every day and hate it, but it's secure. It pays the bills. You're safe, right? If you're sitting behind a desk, or, you know, if you're a teacher, what it will, I don't want to say about teachers how much now, not being funny, but yeah, I don't even know if the job of being a teacher is safe now. But there's a lot of jobs out there where people hate them, but you are safe, right? You can still work it. But fight game, you have to make sure that you have some type of love for it and that you enjoy it. If not, you could really get hurt. So, yeah, shout out to Leah Ledson for making the right choice to, you know, dip out when the getting is still good. You know, the getting is still good. Everything is still good. Mindset's intact, still in a good shape where she could do anything else. You know, she just got married too, right? So why throw that all away just over a fight career where you didn't really reach the top anyway? You know what I mean? Like, not bashing or anything. Like, I'm just saying, like, where she didn't really have those what if moments, like, oh man, she's right there on the cusp of becoming the champion, right? Leah Ledson, she's leaving behind a 5-2 record. Some of her most notable wins was against Bea Malecki in the Tough House. Stoyanko, she defeated. I remember in the Tough House, she lost to Macy Chason. That was a brutal first round finish. And then her last fight was back in November 2021 when she lost to Felicia Spencer by third round finish, right? So, yeah, she got a chance to experience the fight game and reach the UFC, get on that type of platform, you know, and deal with how it feels to be that type of fighter and that pressure. Yeah, she never made it to title contention, but yeah, that's just how it goes sometimes. Not everybody's going to make it to that, you know, to that pinnacle like that. So, you know, shout out to Leah making the right choice. Shout out to my man BJ from No Filter MMA. That was like the first fighter he interviewed. I believe the first fighter, period, or the first fighter, first female fighter he interviewed. But either way, yeah, he got two interviews with her, you know, actually got an interview with her on a comeback. You know, she was in such good spirits at the time. You know, that was fun to watch. So, yeah, shout out to Leah Ledson. Good luck to your future, and just wishing the best for you. All right. And so, yeah, let's move on to 1FC. 1FC. This Friday coming up, I will be doing a fight companion for this fight. Not the whole card, but for this fight in particular, because this is a banger. This fight spells violence. And that is Stamp Fairtex and Anissa Mexen. This fight here has a big buildup to it. First off, these two, I really don't think they like each other. Well, I think Mexen is the one that's more throwing out the energy that, you know, she's not liking Stamp Fairtex right now. You know, Stamp Fairtex to her is not a real fighter. She just gets annoyed with her dancing. And, you know, she wants to prove that she's the real scrappy fighter. She's the real deal in there. Now, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted now, Anissa. Don't jump too far ahead, because Stamp Fairtex, she may dance and she may entertain. But this girl is a fighter. She's a hardcore fighter. You know, she's fought, you know, fought in the Muay Thai bouts there. She can kickbox, and she's fought MMA to the highest level in 1FC, you know. But regardless of what she's saying, I like the energy. This is what we want to see. They both bring violence. Their styles both spell violence. They get brutal in there. And then when you hear that trash talk and, you know, that animosity, man, I can't wait to see this. And that's why I got to call this fight with y'all. But this fight is actually not going to be just your average Muay Thai fight or MMA fight. It's actually a mixed rules fight, okay? And just in case y'all were asking, what is a mixed rules fight? Well, I almost forgot myself what it was, but I had to go back and look at the last fight where they did this at. Because this is actually the first ever mixed rules fight for female. Okay. But I had to go back and look at the Demetrius Johnson and I keep forgetting his name right now. The Demetrius Johnson fight. He had a super fight like about a year ago, I believe, right? And they put up the rules to that fight. So let me pull that fight up here and then we can I can kind of go through the rules with y'all. Give me 1 second here. Stan Fairtex is definitely a fighter that is not just a dancer, though. Stamp likes to get it in, man. You know, she's a entertainer, right? But she will put it on you. Okay, she will put it on you. She is that type of fighter. So I don't want anybody else to get that twisted right now. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, Demetrius Johnson, Rod Tang. Because I want to pull up the rules here and read them to y'all. Okay. All right. Everything you need to know about the Demetrius Johnson versus Rod Tang special rules super fight. Okay. So apparently they are following the same rules here. They're going to be following the same rules. So it's going to be a 4-round fight, 4 3-minute rounds. Okay. And if it is done the same fashion, okay, 4-ounce gloves. Round one will be a Muay Thai round. All right, round one's a Muay Thai round. Round two will be an MMA round. MMA, okay, mixed martial arts. So takedowns and all that will be more so welcome. Striking and more of a kickboxing, whatever you have to your disposal, okay, all of that's being used. Round three, back to Muay Thai, okay? Then round four is back to MMA. And like it says, the entire bout will be contested with 4-ounce MMA-style gloves. Okay, each round will be 3 minutes long with 1 minute rest in between. Okay. So, yeah, okay, yeah, that's basically what it is then. Okay, it's in the Muay Thai rounds, an athlete can win by knockout or TKO if they score 3 knockdowns in a single round. In the mixed martial art rounds, an athlete can win by knockout, TKO, or submission. If a fighter is stopped, there will be no further rounds. If the match goes the distance, the result will be declared a draw with no decisions, no judges' decisions, okay? So, yeah, I was about to say, if it's only 4 rounds, you know, then that's going to be kind of awkward. So, yeah, they say if the match goes the distance, the result will be declared a draw, okay? Ooh, this is going to be a rough one too, boy. You know, these two are going to be going at it. I honestly don't see it going the distance. Like, if it goes to the Muay Thai rounds, they're going to be back and forth and somebody could get stopped. But in the MMA rounds with Stamp, to me, having more MMA experience, she could pull off a submission or, you know, she could get a TKO with however her approach is on the ground. But, yeah, my thoughts on this, I think it makes it interesting, you know, because Anissa Mexen, you know, she's not really like this full-fledged MMA fighter, but I think this is a way to kind of ease her into, you know, the MMA world. Not even really like just ease her in, but kind of pull out the best in her, you know, because she has been training, you know, she has been working behind the scenes. You know, she's more of a, you know, stand-up fighter, but adding that MMA element is really going to kind of push her to another level and see what she has, you know. And like I said, with the mixture of these two fighters having that tension, it's going to make for an entertaining fight. It really is, man. This one spells straight up violence. So you guys got to tune in with me. The card, I believe, starts Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I believe this is like the third fight from the card, or it could be the co-main event. Hold on. Let me make sure, because I just want y'all to tune in as soon as I pull the fight up on Friday. Which is not going to be the first fight because I'm not doing the whole card. Just to give you all a heads up. So let me see. It's actually going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the fourth fight on the card. And I'll post the time up. You know, y'all just click on the, you'll just click on the stream before I even get there. But yeah, these mixed rule fights that seem to be becoming a thing with ONE FC, you know, they always do like the mixed cards anyway. You know, they'll do kickboxing matches, Muay Thai matches, and MMA matches and grappling matches all on the same card. But like now, actually mixing rounds together or mixing styles in fights, you know, the Muay Thai and MMA in rounds one and round two, you know, they're kind of making that a thing. And I think they're trying to build up a new interest here to make the crowd a little bit more on edge to see, oh, what can my favorite fighter do? You know, how good is my favorite fighter with their stand up, or how quick can they make the adjustment here on the fly? You know, like, they're really adding more of an explosive element here, because you have to be quick on the draw here. You know, you have to be quick to adjust your mind to what's coming. You know, from Muay Thai to MMA, that's rough. That's two brutal sports in one. You know, Muay Thai and MMA, you know, you have to say, okay, this round is this round. And you know, sometimes corners and fighters forget what round it is sometimes. So how hard do you think it is going to be for them to remember sometimes, like, oh, this is a mixed rules fight. I can't come out and take a person down, right? So that's the part that's going to make it interesting, I believe. But yeah, we'll see how this plays out. I think it's really going to be interesting with these two, because, like I said, they don't like each other. They both have explosive styles. They're both coming for knockouts or submissions. So definitely y'all tune in. Do I have a pick for right now? I'll give y'all a pick maybe tomorrow or later this week in a live stream. But, you know, I got to lean towards my girl here, Stan Fairtex, for real. I got to lean towards Stan Fairtex. So, you know, I can't jump off, you know, a girl here because Anissa Mexen's around. I mean, I like Anissa Mexen. Believe me, I do. But I like what Stamp is bringing to the sport as an entertainer, though. You know, very entertaining fighter. But, yeah, let me know what y'all think about the whole mixed rules thing. And, yeah, just put that in the comment section. Okay? All right, moving on. So, Cynthia Calvillo. All right, Cynthia Calvillo is making her run back down to 115. I did a video about this. And, you know, because a few people asked me about Cynthia Calvillo and her chances of moving back down to strawweight. And my thoughts on that, I think it's a wise choice. It would have been a much wiser choice if she had done it maybe 2 years ago, you know, before she got so deep into thinking she was a flyweight. I think that it would have been wise for her to stay at 115. You know, just really, really focus on the lifestyle. And by the lifestyle, y'all know what I mean. Hang on 1 second. Let me pull something up here. All right. So by the lifestyle, y'all know, I mean, living that fighter lifestyle of not just training, but always keeping your body close to your walk around weight, always having the right diet, putting the right stuff in your body year round until you retire. You know, you see the best fighters do this all the time. You know, you see the best fighters always stay committed. They're always close to their weight. They're always ready to go. And that's why we brought this up yesterday. You know, somebody says Rose Namajunas could go right into a fight without a training camp. I don't believe that. I think it takes special fighters to really do that. Rose is a special fighter in her own way, but I think she's a fighter that really needs to get up for certain things, you know? Like, she doesn't particularly live the lifestyle of a fighter year round. You know, she knows how to get up. She trains hard, yes, but always thinking about fighting, no, I think she needs to give her mind a break. Everybody does, but there's some fighters that are just on their stay ready. You know, like Floyd Mayweather, who runs at 3 or 4 in the morning in Vegas, who lives around that lifestyle of, you know, gambling, girls, you know, wilding out, but he can still stay maintained. That's proof of how dedicated he is, right? There's a special dedication. Like, champions, being a champion is one thing, but being, you know, a year-round champion is just, that's just something special. That's something just very special. Like, being able to keep your body at its weight and always stay on it, you know, that's something you really have to commend somebody for doing. So I think, you know, Calvillo, she's one of those fighters that has to really do that if she has trouble making that weight now. Or she feels like she is a flyweight and she's not a flyweight, right? She really needs to say, hey, I need the right nutritionist. I really need to see how many carbs I'm taking in, where I need to be walking around at, what's a comfortable weight for me to walk around at so my weight cuts won't kill, you know? And what do I need to cut out of my diet? What do I need to cut out of training, you know, that messes with my weight? You know, stuff like that. Stuff like that has to be looked at, you know, if she wants to continue her career, especially at strawweight. You know, I think me, like I said, in my opinion, strong opinion, she is a strawweight. I mean, when you look at her frame compared to these other flyweights, she's small, even smaller than Alexa Grasso. You know, Alexa Grasso is actually kind of growing into flyweight. You know, Alexa's actually kind of growing into flyweight pretty nicely. You know, she was having trouble making it, and now that she's 125, she's comfortable. She's actually been tacking on more muscle and has been looking stronger. You know, her punches, her striking was strong against Vivian Araújo. She was very, very well balanced with her strength in the Macy Barber fight. You know, she has enough pop in her shots to get respect. So those are like three of the things you really want to look at to see if you really can make weight. You know, if you really are stronger at a higher weight. You know, I think when you go down Calvillo's checklist, those things weren't there. You know, she didn't have enough pop. She didn't have the physical strength. You know, she didn't grow into the weight nicely. You know, Alexa Grasso, she checked all of that out. You know, like I said, the pop was there. The physical strength was there. You know, the size was there. You know, she's starting to, you know, widen up a little bit here. So you have to look at those things. So see, Calvillo, her style didn't really adjust right. You know, her style didn't really adjust. She didn't really bring in the tools that made her the fighter to look out for. You know, she's been dependent on her hands too much. You know, she's boxing a lot, you know, trying to stay on the outside and strike when she should be on the inside being gritty, and she should be shooting for more takedowns. You know, she should be wrestling these girls more. You know, a lot of things that, you know, she's just been kind of denying herself from being the better fighter in these situations, you know? So yeah, I think that she has a chance, but at 115, but yeah, it's going to be a big task because it just seems like now weight's a big part of where she needs to be. And that's the one thing that she really needs to tackle. And once she starts to get to that point, then we can say, okay, it's time to really figure out how we move in here now at this point, you know, what plans work against these particular styles now at strawweight. What's changed since we left, right? You know, what can we do now? You know, what can we do with this newfound body, you know, this new discipline and this weight? All right. Now, I know it seems like reaching, it seems like it's asking a lot, but I do think she can crack top 15 again. But if she doesn't at this point, it might be over. As much as that sucks, I think it might be over for her, you know, because she's four losses deep, and they weren't hard, they weren't easy, you know, they weren't just like little easy losses either, you know, they were hard. I mean, the last one was kind of controversial against Nina Anzorov, but still, it was a letdown. It was still a letdown in performance, and, you know, performance, you know, as far as the crowd's intake of it, but also performance from her as well, how she, you know, the game plan she executed. But yeah, each one has been hard, you know. I think the Chikagian loss was, you know, it wasn't as bad as the two losses in between Andrade and Andrea Lee, but they were all still kind of like breaking losses to me. Not like Tisha Torres' four-fight losing streak. You know, Tisha was much more spirited in her fights, and there were some fights where you could say, yeah, this girl is tough as hell. But Calvillo just made me say, too small for flyweight. You shouldn't be here. You know, your style isn't cutting it. The style is not working for you. Okay. So, yeah, those are some things that she just needs to work on. Like I said in this video, discipline, you know, cutting the weight right, and going back to her roots on what she does. She's going to need it, especially in Lupi's fight. Lupi, this girl here, you know, she's got strength, power. She's committed. She's got heart. A little reckless at times, maybe not as a high in IQ as some of these other strawweights. But at this point, her IQ might balance out with Calvillo. You know, Calvillo is not really showing the IQ right in the last four fights. So this is going to balance out to a very tough fight for Calvillo. You know, somebody that might not have enough firepower to keep this type of fighter back or take down defense at this point. You know, it's definitely looking like a winnable fight here for Lupi right now. Now, I'd like to see Calvillo pull this off. Yeah, I would. You know, I'd like to see her jump back into the mix, but it's going to be a hard road. But whoever said this fight game was easy, right? Whoever said that anyways. Yeah. So what do y'all think? What do y'all think about this whole situation? Let me know in the comment section. All right. Moving on. Speaking of hard roads, Erin Blanchfield definitely got a hard road ahead of her. Definitely has a hard road ahead of her, man. And I am there. And I'm there. I'm going to be there watching this thing all the way through with y'all. Fight Companion is coming that day for sure. Taking on Tyler Santos. Again, put this disclaimer out. Do I want this fight right now? No. Not at all. I do not want Santos versus Blanchfield right now. All right. Is this too premature for Blanchfield? Yes. That's the reason I don't want this fight right now. Okay. Is it going to be a good fight? Yeah. It's going to be a good fight because these two fighters are both in my quadruple threat. And I think there's some very, very, there's some very, very solid things about these two fighters that will definitely put them back in the, Santos back in the title contention and Blanchfield eventually into title contention. But like I said, it could be a little too early right now. And if Blanchfield is not hitting like I'm saying, she could get beat bad. But if she's on it, she could fight Santos to a very close fight and put herself in that running. She could pull off the upset here and be that fighter. And most recently, you know, she talked about her approach about Santos. And she honestly said, look, Tyler Santos is not a danger. You know, she doesn't really see her as a dangerous opponent. You know, even though she fought a close fight against Valentina, she doesn't really see, like, this great danger. Like, this is the quote she had said. She's a little, let's pull it up here. Hang on one second. She is a little, sometimes these interviews are weird. They, with these text links, the interviews, you always got to hit like this button. It says read more. Do I want to read more? Of course I want to read more. All right. So it says, she's a little bit taller than me. I'm 5'4", she's 5'6". She's a striker, but has some good wrestling. She likes her takedowns off the cage. Her jiu-jitsu is decent. She's well-rounded, but I don't think she's necessarily dangerous. All right. Hey, some people might take that the wrong way, but I feel her on that. You know, I do feel her on that. She's just showing confidence. It's not really like she's overlooking Tyler Santos. She's just letting you know that, look, this fighter is not that dangerous. You know, I've seen certain things that she's done before, maybe in separate bouts. Maybe she's bringing all of that together. But it's not nothing. It's not anything I haven't seen before, right? You know, she's seen the striking before in the JJ and Molly fight. You know, she's seen the jiu-jitsu and some of the wrestling in the fight with Miranda Maverick. She handled that well. So now it all comes down to the midterm. This ain't the final exam. Valentina's the final exam, but this is the midterm, right? This is the midterm to see what have we learned. We're going to fight a fighter that has all of that together, just about all of that together, right? So somebody who's seen these certain things, they're putting it all together now, and they're thinking, okay, I passed the test these other 2, 3, 4 times. You know, what makes this one different? Now I just got to put it all together, right? That's how I kind of read that. Like, she's not saying, oh, this is going to be the hardest fight of my life. It can't be. If this is the hardest fight of her life, and she believes that, then, oh, you know, the Valentina fight is then way out of reach, you know. Because Tyler Santos is not the perfect fighter. You know, she can be beat. And we've already said, too, that's why I asked that question a little while back about the jiu-jitsu, whose jiu-jitsu is better. A lot of people voted Santos. Well, I disagree. I think Erin Blanchfield's jiu-jitsu is better. You know, she's the black belt. Tyler's a what, purple belt, brown belt? You know, she's much more technical on the ground, Erin Blanchfield is. You know, I think Santos just uses her jiu-jitsu in a much better marriage right now with MMA because this is mixed martial arts. Like I said, it's not just about one discipline, but in the technical aspect, I would say Erin Blanchfield is much better with her jiu-jitsu. But when you look at how they're married together, wrestling and jiu-jitsu put together, I think Santos has that down, you know, and that's the test that Erin Blanchfield has to pass. Okay. So hold on one second. So that's where it's coming together for her. And that's the questions for us. And that's what has us on the edge of the seat. But, you know, somebody like Erin's, you know, she's been through a lot at a young age when it comes to the fight game. You know, she's got fight years under her belt, even though she's only 23 years old. So Santos isn't like this big danger to her. I know she's a challenge. She sees her as a challenge, but she doesn't see her as somebody that's got to, you know, make her overthink and overrespect her. And that's just confidence. You're supposed to come in here like that. You know, you don't come in here overrespecting somebody and then it translates into the octagon where you show that person respect and you just sit back and you hate to engage. You don't want to pull the trigger. And then boom, next thing you know, you're taken down and you're getting pummeled, right? You're supposed to have this type of confidence in your mind. And then that translates into the cage. You know, she is that fighter that she portrays in the cage. Okay. Like that is her. She is the cold-blooded girl. You know, you can see it in her attitude, you know, when she's just being hurt, like she's serious about it. She's confident. You can't beat her. She has one loss, but that's how she thinks. You can't beat her. And you're supposed to think that way. So, do I think personally for me, is Santos a dangerous fight? Yeah, I do. For her, she doesn't have to think that way. I don't want her to think that way. I want her to think that this is a test. And like I said, this is that midterm, but not like she's this big, big, dangerous thing which you overrespect, like you think of as like the boogie woman. No, she's not supposed to think that way. Me, I do think she's a bit of a danger because, you know, Santos is strong, you know, and right now, if Santos is not overlooking Blanchfield, and like I said before, if she's more so looking through Blanchfield, she's going to be punching through Blanchfield. Okay, she's going to run through Blanchfield. She's not, you know, Santos, she's not looking over now. You know, she's not like, oh, I'm looking at Valentina right now. No, you know, she's like, get out of my way. I'm coming. Anybody in my way, I'm gonna knock you out. I'm going to get you out the way. Because Santos was in that mindset, like, if I can't get Valentina, give me Caitlin Chikagan or give me Manon. Right? And we thought it would have been one of them girls. But the UFC, they pull a fast one and they throw her Erin Blanchfield. So now we like, ooh, it sucks to be Erin right now, right? For good reason, right? So that's where the danger comes in. That's where the danger comes in for Erin Blanchfield. The fact that she's 8 spots below, hasn't been in this type of tough fight before. And she's facing a raging Tyler Santos, you know, somebody that wants to get back in Valentina ASAP, right? And with her in the way, that's just going to make Santos fight harder, I believe. So, yeah, nothing against Erin at all in that. You know, definitely not somebody in my quadruple threat that feels like Tyler's not a dangerous fighter. Hell, she's a dangerous fighter herself. So they balance it out. They balance it out, right? So, yeah, we're going to see it. We're going to see how it goes. I still give Tyler the edge right now because of the experience level and what she brings to the table. But it's not by much. It's not by much, especially when these fighters are both in my quadruple threat. Man, it's going to be a hell of a fight, y'all. I believe that. And Santos, if she's ready for that if Santos really wants that rematch, she's going to be coming for it. Anybody in their way is going to get stomped. Going to get stomped. All right. But speaking of the rematch, speaking of the champion, last but not least, a bullet without a target. So Valentina Shevchenko is a little bit restless right now. You know, if you missed my live last night, this is for you guys on the podcast platform. But Valentina voiced her dislike or disappointment and a little bit of disgust for the lack of call-outs, the lack of energy from, you know, some of these top fighters. You know, she basically said, like, why so quiet? You know, she basically said, "Why is everybody so quiet? I thought y'all wanted title shots." You know, she's like, "I've been ready to fight. I've been ready to fight since September. I could have fought in December. I've been training since September. We could have did it in September. It's been over 7 months now. Why is nobody ready? I thought all y'all wanted the championship. Why are you so quiet?" Right? All of this was pretty much said. You can go back and listen to the video. Or listen to my, you know, live stream where I broke this down and I read it word for word. And this is what she said. So, yeah, the champ is feeling like nobody really wants it. And, yeah, like the energy does change a lot from certain fighters. You know, like I said, a lot of fighters want more experience to fight Valentina. But I think when you get to that point, you should already know what you're dealing with, the monster that you're dealing with, and what type of sword and what type of power that you need to beat that person by the time you get there, right? You need to know what type of blade you need to take down that beast, what's its weakness and all of that. All of that should have been studied from, you know, the jump. The minute you entered this cave and you started feeling that fire, you know, you fought through some of the other obstacles down the cave, fire was getting a little bit hotter. You could smell it coming. You could smell that dragon not too far away. And then you beat that last enemy right ahead of you. Orc or troll. I don't know, whatever it is. What do y'all play? Dungeons and Dragons. That big beast, that last final enforcer. When you get him out the way, then you see that dragon's head and that fire starts breathing right in your face and you hold up that shield. What do you say? I got to turn around and fight a couple more fights. I got to go level up again. I got to go back and level up. No, it's too late. It's too late. You in that cave now. You know, the rocks fell down and shut you out, shut you in. You know, the rocks fell down and shut you in now. So you stuck in there with the beast. The only way out is past the dragon. So now that fire is breathing in your face. You want to run back. There's no way. There's no way. All the experience that you needed and all the leveling up, should have been done along the way. All those beasts and bodies that you stacked up along the way should have been enough. Or like I said, before you got to the cave, you know, everybody told you about the dragon. They said, this is that dragon. Cut this head off, cut that head off, and blind it. Or this is its weakness. This is how you take it down, right? So you get all of that stuff sharpened up. You get all the weapons that you need along the way from everybody that's in your corner and your train, you know, that's helping you train. And then you go in and with that confidence say, okay, we got this. And there's no turning back, right? That's how it goes. I don't even play Dungeons and Dragons, but I'm just saying, you know, that's how I see it. Once you get to that top, number one, number two, there is no turning back. There is no turning back. Now, if you have an injury, yeah, you have to turn back. And you say, oh, I stepped on a thorn, or, you know, I cut my foot with my own sword or something. I got to go back. Let's send in the next best soldier, right? That's why you always have somebody on standby. Then the next best soldier goes in, but they can't say, hey, I got to go back and get experience too. No, you can't. You go in there and fight. If you don't, this dragon is going to run us forever, right? It can't work that way. The next person has to go in. And I think that's how Valentina, who's the dragon in this case, she's sitting in that cave and she's like, who wants to challenge me? I thought your best men were coming. Where are you guys at, right? And it just seems like there's not enough energy where fighters are suited up, sharpened up, blades ready to go, ready to run in there and take her down, right? It seems that way, but there's another one. There's another one that got wounded by that dragon, and they are thirsty for more. And her name is Tyler Santos. Tyler Santos left that war with a dented armor, a cut face, a couple of fingers missing. But she's ready to go back in because her blade is sharp, she says. You know, hey, I found a weakness in that champ. You know, I cut a couple of toes off. You know, I cut a couple of toes off. I knocked a couple of her teeth out. You know, her fangs. Her fire wasn't as hot as they say. I could take it. You know, my armor is built for it. I'm bigger than the rest. I'm stronger than the rest. She beat me this time, but hey, let me get another go around. But no, the dragon said, I don't want to fight her anymore. So when does a dragon ever say they don't want to fight that soldier again? A soldier that gave them a hard time, and they're supposed to be a big, bad dragon. That dragon should say, come on back. You're wounded. Let me finish you off. Let me go ahead and chew you up and spit you out for real, making a real example of you, right? So this knight is the only option. So why are they not giving it to him? Is it Valentina to blame? Or is it the UFC? Well, it could be a combination of both here, because Valentina right now knows that, and she should know this now, like, if you say you want a particular fighter, they'll give it to you, you know? So I think it's a marriage here. It's a hand-in-hand thing. The UFC, they want the fighters to make their job easy. The matchmakers do. So if Valentina said, hey, I want Tyler again, I don't like how that fight ended, and the UFC says, you know what? Nobody else wants this fight right now. Grasso doesn't really want it now. Manon is out for surgery. There's nobody else. Everybody else has already been beaten. Who else is there? How about Tyler? Nick Maynard says, okay, yeah, let's do that. Because Valentina says she wanted her. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Boom. You got to fight. That's the next best thing. Now, granted, if Grasso or anybody else was ready, I would say give Tyler the chance to heal up. I would, but when there's nobody else and you want to be an active champion, then you got to take the next best thing. And Tyler Santos is the best thing right now. You know, granted, she could get the other fight and she could heal up, but that's only if somebody else is ready for the fight, but nobody else is. So in a way, Valentina kind of talked her way out of a fight in December because she wanted to fight in December. Tyler Santos called her out in December. Now, if you just want to stay active and you want to fight, like she said in this interview, she's used to fighting 2 times a year and she likes to better herself and just get in there and fight. You wouldn't care what's going on with Santos. You know, she's a challenge regardless because she did better than all the other fighters. You would want to fight her anyway. So there's that way to look at it, right? So if nobody else is there in December, because anyways, Manon and Grasso, they won their fights in October. So they're not going to come back 2 months later. So if you want to come back in December, you come back against the same person that has the same turnaround as you because they fought you in June. So that's 6 months apart. Simple math, right? Santos wanted it. Santos should get it again because she's the only one, right? But now that Santos is lined up for against Blanchfield, for whatever reason they're working on, I don't know, right? We don't really want that fight. We got one and only. Again, Manon gets a pass. Y'all don't be ugly. So we talking about Manon again. Manon does get the pass because she ruptured a ligament. She's out. She'll probably fight Valentina by the end of the year. All right? I'm hoping. But now all signs point to that one night now in Alexa Grasso. And I'm not going to say anything else. There's no excuses for it. It should be her. I think, actually, she's more qualified than anybody right now because she's on the 4-fight win streak. She did what she needed to do to get to the top 5. She's got the most UFC experience combined over Santos and Fiero. So she should have no problem getting in there. You know, she should be ready to go. So March or April is when Valentina wants to come back. That's the best opponent for her. I'm gonna keep saying that now because there's nobody else. There's nobody else that's ready right now. And I said this before, look, if Manon was not injured, they probably would go ahead and make this fight because Valentina said, I want that fight with Manon. But now that she's injured, I want the next best thing, which is Grasso. She said Grasso looked good, so Grasso it should be. Okay? So yeah, that's how I see it, though. Like, I hope y'all understood what I was saying about the whole dragon thing. I hope that makes sense because that's just how I see it, man. It's like you got this dragon in this cave and everybody, you know, they want to get there. They want to be the dragon slayer, right? But it's like they're not remembering to prepare for that particular dragon. It's just like they're enjoying the fight along the way. You know, they're just fighting the fight, but they're not remembering, like, we're sharpening our skills to take on this huge beast by the end of the this war. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be preparing, and we're supposed to be asking around, and we're supposed to be getting helpful hints, and we're supposed to be leveling up and getting the right tool for the right war whenever it comes down to it. Because when you get to that point and say you need more experience, it's like, did you not know that Valentina had this much experience? You know, did you not know she was going to be the champion? I knew. As somebody who's watching and not fighting, we all knew. It's just like back in the day when Floyd had his belt. Floyd wasn't losing the fight, so we knew who was going to be champion. Bernard Hopkins, we knew he was dominant champion over, like, what, 20-some title defenses? So if you're a young buck coming into the game on the very bottom and this guy is the dominant champion, you know who to prepare for, right? You know what you need to be working on, because by the time you get there and that person's still there, there's no need for you to say, hey, I needed to work on this and that. You know, you had to have been watching her from the beginning, from the very beginning, because this dragon here is still here and some weaknesses have been shown. So plenty of you fighters need to be evolving to a specific type of fighter that can be her kryptonite, right? But that's how I see it. You know, that's just how I see it. Valentina wants a fight, and it doesn't seem like you have too many people screaming for a fight like they are at bantamweight right now. You know, bantamweight, Ketlin Vieira, she wants a Brazil fight with Nunes, a fight in Brazil. Juliana Pena, she wants that third fight. And, you know, Juliana Pena had a hell of a fight with Amanda Nunes. You know, head split, dropped five times, lost every round. But she wants a third fight. She wants a third fight with Nunes. Okay? Then you got Irene Aldana, who wants a fight. So Rocky Pennington wants to try it again. So Nunes actually has some picks again, even though there's some of them that we already seen before. But at least there's somewhat of a, there's somewhat of, you know, call out energy there. You know, we just really have Tyler right now. You know, we just have Tyler right now because there's injuries holding fighters back, contenders back. And then, like I said, some fighters just feel like they want more experience. Then we have fighters like Andrew Lee saying they don't want to leapfrog ahead because Valentina's that perfect. It's just different. It's just kind of different right now. Other than that, I mean, they put on good matches. That's why I'm like, you know, these girls, they fight their hearts out when they fight. But, you know, I just don't see any of them, like, screaming for the title like they should, you know. But that's what it is, man. I just think that it's kind of everybody's fault in this situation except Tyler Santos's when it comes down to why Valentina can't get a fight. You know, I think it's kind of hers. Because if she wanted to fight, she would just fight Valentina. I mean, she would just fight Tyler Santos again. You know, just go ahead and get that rivalry out of the way. You know, if you want to stay busy and that's all you got, you should deal with it. Because she did better than everybody else. So she is going to give you a tough fight. You know that. She's going to give you a tough fight. And is that the problem why you don't want it? I don't know, right? And in the UFC, giving Santos Blanchfield just didn't really make any sense. Santos Chikagin made more sense. You know, it'd have made sense to make Santos Chikagin and make Shevchenko Grasso, right? But, yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on that. And like I said, Valentina in a way did too, because she's acting like there's nobody to fight, but there's somebody there to fight. There's always somebody there to fight, at least one fight, right? So I don't know what it is. Maybe they're trying to build it up to something bigger in the summer, Tyler Santos, but we'll see. But at this point, it's Grasso. That's all I can say after that. It all comes down to it. It's just Grasso. So, yeah. But, yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Make sure y'all subscribe and hit the like button like always. Subscribe on these platforms like always. You know, if you want to listen to the show on the go, it's on iTunes and all of that, wherever you listen to your podcast. You know, definitely support it on those platforms. So, you know, I'd appreciate that. Yeah, final thoughts. Rest in peace, Victoria Lee. You know, definitely always going to remember you as a part of the sport of WMMA. Even only 3-0, you know, she made her as much of a statement as she could. So yeah, definitely want to remember her. And respect to Leah Lesson for making that right choice to get out of the game. And yeah, ladies, it's time to step it up. It's time to step it up. You know, let's get in there and give the Bullets something to, you know, really, really earn that Hall of Fame status one, right? I mean, she's already got it, but let's really, you know, let's get some good fighters. You know, let's get, you know, show that greatness, y'all. Show that greatness. That's what it's about now, y'all. So yeah, I'm out, guys. Make sure y'all always, you know, hold it down for me in the chat, subscribe, and I'll catch you on the next one. We'll be doing the breakdowns either Wednesday or Thursday, and I'll give y'all my picks for the fights coming up this Wednesday or Thursday. Like always, Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.